You know what is amazing? How the message, and nobody knew the message that I was preparing this morning. Only it was between me, God, and the Holy Spirit. And yet, the praise and worship all went into that direction. And all I want to do is give God the glory for that. It shows that He's in control. Father, this morning we come to You in the name of Jesus. And we want to acknowledge You. You're a good God. You're a God that cares for us. You're a God that minds us in around every corner and around every way. Father, it goes beyond our comprehension sometimes. But we pray now this morning that You will open our ears, our hearts, our minds to receive what You have in store for us. Father, salve my lips, that it's Your word that will come out. And we know that Your word will not turn unto Your void, but sets out what You wanted to accomplish. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Technology. I don't believe this. Okay. If things go wrong, things go wrong. Anybody that can testify to that? But if things go right, it also goes right. The title of the message this morning is Walking Away of or Walking Towards. When Jesus steps into our disappointment and changes our direction, that's the subtitle. We need to allow Jesus to walk alongside with us. If we don't do that, we have a problem. Let's carry on. In our darkest and most confusing moments, the risen Christ, and I should have underlined that, the risen Christ walks with us, opens the scriptures, and turns us from walking away from our disappointments by turning towards Him, His people, and His plans and purposes for us. What does it mean? I've got two choices. Either I can walk towards Stefani, or I can walk away from Stefani. It's a simple concept. But most cases, we walk away from God. I want to underline this, friends. That's only possible because He has risen. And if you don't know it, it's time that you wake up, please. Jesus is alive and He has risen. We're going to have a chat this morning about the Emmaus Road. Now, you know what happened. I'll give you a quick synopsis of it. Jesus rose on the first day. A couple of people have seen Him and so on and so on. And then Jesus decided He's going to walk with two guys, a guy and a girl. It sounds like Cleopas and his wife. If you read in one of the other Gospels, it talks about Cleopas and Mary, his wife. So we're assuming that they were a couple. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared with them, and He started walking with them. And then a whole conversation goes, and that's what we're going to have a chat about. Because that conversation and what happened on that road is important to everybody for us, me and everybody else. So the Emmaus Road, and we all, friends, we all have an Emmaus Road. The Emmaus Road is part of our life's journey. When we walk in confusion, disappointment, or doubt, and the risen Christ comes quietly alongside us, listens, opens the scripture, and turns us back towards faith and trust Him. Shall I read it again? Okay, let's do that. My Emmaus Road is a part of my life's journey. When I walk in confusion, disappointment, or doubt, then what happens? The risen Christ comes quietly alongside us. Friends, there's nowhere in the Bible that Jesus came with a big band, with a motorcade, with all that. He just appeared. He was just there. And he's still there. He's still here. Do you know that? He is here. Listens, opens the scriptures, and then turns us back towards him. Why? Teaching us to trust him, to obey him, to learn from him, and so on. Where do we begin with this? This won't work if you don't accept that Jesus Christ is not as risen from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. That day, and it was still the first day of the week, that day, a lot of things happened. It was Resurrection Day, rumors of an empty tomb, two disciples leaving Jerusalem for Emmaus. During the confusion, the risen Christ comes alongside them and starts, not with a miracle, but with a question. Let's take a walk on this road and see what really happens. And I want to ask you, put yourself in the shoes of those two people. See if that is possible. Or are you just floating along in the hope that it will work? The first section is, unfortunately, I first thought of asking Stefani to read this for us, but it's quite a lot of verses, so I'll just summarize it. Jesus draws near to them and asks them a question. They were going in the wrong direction, physically and spiritually. They were walking away from Jerusalem, away from the center of God's action. That's what they did. Jesus himself came up, walked alongside with them, but they were kept from recognizing them. He asked, "What are you guys talking about?" An open question, inviting them to share their hearts. How does that affect me? Because, friends, every portion of Scripture should affect each one of us. Doesn't matter if it's one verse, a portion of a verse, or what, but every portion of Scripture should affect you. So what happened? Many of us walk on our roads, our heads down, talking, worrying, planning, and Jesus has drawn near, yet we don't recognize that he's there. Does that sound familiar? You know what Frank Sinatra sang? I want to do it my way. And it's because of my way that comes into action. Learn from Jesus. How do we deal with our others? Asking a question, not conclusion. Draw near, not standing at a distance. What did Jesus do? He just asked questions. He didn't come and, yeah, but you did this and you did that and you're the worst of this and the worst of that. He didn't do that. He just asked a question. What are you guys talking about? Look what he did. Before Jesus gave them his answers, he gave them what? His attention. And that's what we also should do. If we communicate with each other, we're so quick to draw conclusions, jump to, and yeah, but you should do this. And I'm very good with that, by the way. But I also have to learn to close my mouth and listen, because that's why I've got two ears and one mouth. So I should listen at least twice as much as what I'm talking. And I can talk. But I also have to listen. Don't say anything, Pastor Jerry, please. You know, you guys can't see, but Pastor Jerry's sitting like that and looks at me like that. Sorry. Anyway, let's carry on with the reading. Cleopas then responded, slightly sharp.
Don't you know what has happened here? And he tells him the story. What happened? The disappointment. The fact that... Was he the only guy that wasn't around? Was Jesus not there? He doesn't even realize that it was all about him. They know the facts, the crucifixion, the reports of the woman, the empty tombs, yet they did not believe. Does that sound familiar? Exactly. Jesus then tells them the story. As they see it, he allows there we had hoped to come out, because that's what it says. We had hoped. What did they hope? That Jesus would do something for them. And what were they hoping for? They were hoping that he would restore Israel. They didn't realize at that point that Jesus was there for much more than that. He was there not only to restore Israel, he was there to restore me. He was there to give me salvation. You, all of us, the salvation. That's why he died. He didn't come to chase the Romans out of Palestine. That wasn't his job. Jesus came for one reason and one reason only. To die on the cross so that I can have life and life more abundantly. What is you we had hoped? A healing? A relationship? A ministry plan? A financial issue? We all have issues, friends. Anybody here that doesn't have an issue? Is there anybody here that has got no issues? So we're all human. So we all of us have got a problem. Every one of us has got something that we can take to God to, that we can talk to Him about, that we can leave to Him to look at. Jesus is not shocked by our disappointments. He walks with you in it, and He listens. Friends, you may be surprised, but there's nothing under the sun that would shock Jesus. Not one thing. Because He's seen it all. He's heard it all. He's experienced it all. He knows everything. So there's nothing that shocks Him. So you can play open cards with Him. No problem. You may not want to play open cards with people, but you can play open cards with Him. Because the nice part with that is, He will also not split on you. And that's what a lot of us are afraid of. God calls us to be friends to each other, not fixing people, but listening. And that's part of our issues. We always try to fix people quickly. You know, what we do is not wrong. It's how we do it that is a big problem. So instead of going try to fix somebody up, maybe it's a good idea to go and say, Lord, this person, blah, 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 and bring the person before God. What is the saying? First talk to God about man or woman before you talk to man or woman about God. Real faith doesn't hide. We had hoped from Jesus. We bring it to Him on the road because He's already there. Do you realize when you came to church this morning, Jesus was sitting with you in the car or was walking next to you? You realize that? Are you sure you realized it? So why did some of you act the way you act on the way here? I'm just asking. We're all guilty because we do things we shouldn't have done. He's there. He's in the house. He's between you and your wife. He's between you and your children. He's there all the time. So then what happens? And that's what Jesus is telling us this morning. Friends, after listening to Jesus, Jesus responds by saying, how foolish are you? How slow to believe that all the prophets have spoken about? He explains what was said in the scriptures concerning himself, which was a really a Bible study, which some of us also should attend more, showing that suffering and glory was always in God's plan. And that is true for all of us. What happened? The moment he opened the scriptures, the heart started burning because the penny dropped. We need to do the same thing. Not comfort, but correction. Not sympathy, but scripture opening in a fresh way. How many of us, and you have to answer that for yourself, only open the Bible on a blue moon? Or only if you are really in trouble? I'm talking straight, guys. But it is a fact. We're all guilty. What do we have to do? We have to open on a constant basis. Because the more we open God's word, the more we will do what? We will know that Jesus is there. The more he wants to talk to us. The more he wants to be with us. The more he wants to help us. The more he wants to be my brother. The gospel reframes our story, our pain and our confusion into the bigger story of the cross and the resurrection. My story is taken, is covered in the resurrection, is covered in the cross. In other words, everything that Jesus has done on the cross has already been taken care of. All I've got to do is buy into it. All I've got to do is to make it my own, become part of it. Allowing him to do something for me. When we are trapped in our small story, Jesus retells the big story until our heart starts to burn again. And that is so true. How many of us are not just thinking about me, me and myself? I'm guilty. First I think about me. Then I think about myself. And then I think about somebody else. Am I right? No. You know, it's not a bad idea sometimes to say, yes, I agree. Because at least you hear what has been said. I'm part of a bigger story. Because why am I part of a bigger story? Because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So I bought into that bigger story. It became part of my life. He says to me, I want to be with you. I want to hold your hand. It's like my Stefani. We want to be together. We don't go away, the one to this way and the other one goes that way. We go together because we want to be together. And that's the same thing with Jesus. He wants to be together with us. You know, and in our relationship, Jesus is not the spoil sport. He's the one that keeps, he's the gel that keeps us together. And if you think about that, it's a privilege to know him. Jesus reveals himself. Remember about the communion we just had? It was the first meal after communion. The first one. I mean, I nearly want to say, the coffee wasn't even cold yet. Jesus acts as if he were going further. He waits to be invited. Stay with us. It's nearly evening. That's the two people were talking. Because he touched their hearts. So he said, maybe there's something in us. Let's invite the guy for a meal, not realizing who they were thinking about. At the table, and listen, look at this. At the table, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Does it sound like communion to you? Exactly what happened. He broke it, and then all of a sudden, they recognized him. Why is this so important? Because at this table, we can recognize the living Jesus. Not a dead one, the living Jesus. Why is it so important? Because we have to be constantly reminded that He is alive. That we're not serving some dead ghost. Because that's what happened when he appeared to the disciples. They all thought He was a ghost. Not even in the same chapter. He vanished. Why did He not stay with them? Any idea? His job was done there. His job at that stage was done. And remember, He has not ascended to His Father yet. He hasn't given the Holy Spirit yet. So He was only the one person. So He had to go to the other disciples as well. But now their hearts and their feet are changed. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem to tell the others. So what does it mean for me? Jesus often moves us from a chat on the road to recognition on the table, in communion, in a shared meal, or in just ordinary fellowship. You know how that works. Maybe part of the reason why we do come to church is to hear if Jesus has got something for me. And maybe He has something for you this morning. Stick it in. Not, you don't have to remember the whole message. Remember one thing. What touched your heart this morning? Or a meal with a friend. Or a cup of coffee with somebody else. Maybe there is just that. But you need to be open to say, okay, I do recognize God speaking to me. He doesn't always change our circumstances immediately. But He changes our vision and reminds of our purpose. You know, when God has done quite a lot of miracles in our lives in the recent months, He didn't change our circumstances, but He changed our purpose. He changed us the way that things could happen. I don't want to go into all the details, but God changed our life, and we could recognize it in what He has done. But what is this? What was the purpose? You have to stay faithful first in what He's called you to do. If you don't stay faithful, He can't do anything. Remember, if you're out of God's will, He won't do anything until you get to the point back where you get back into His will. Simple. You know, it's like a kid that goes to the 7th or 8th grade at school, and then he decides, no, I'm flunking school. He can't then, in 5 years' time, go to Leaving Cert. He's got to go back where he was before. It's a simple thing. Allow Jesus to change you from walking away to walking towards, from a setback to a testimony. I have, for many years, walked away from things. And I think here, a lot of us are like that. We walk away from things instead of walking towards. Does that mean confrontation? I don't know. Does that mean it means Jesus? It means put that problem that you have, that you are walking away from, put that square on the table and say, God, they've got a Zulu word which I've used here a few times. You call it nyaga nyaga la. And I don't know how to solve this in nyaga nyaga. You can solve my nyaga nyaga. You can solve my problem. You can solve it. Take care of it. But allow Him to take care of it. Because I can do it my way. Anybody here that has sung that before? Anybody's life that is like that? It's very quiet. Now, it's either very good or very bad. I don't know. The proof that they've met the risen Christ is not in the burning hearts, but in the moving feet. What did they do? Within the hour after Jesus disappeared, they went back on the road to Jerusalem. Now that's 7 miles. That's probably from here to Tremor, something like that. And what did they do? They had to walk all the way back. But their feet, their hearts was full of life. They were not tired because it was already getting towards evening. They walked in and they went. And what did they do when they went? Knocked on the door. The disciples were there together and so on. And they say, some of them said, Peter has seen Jesus. And what did they say? Yes, we've had a meal with them. Imagine, friends, if you go come next week Sunday to church and you say, I had a meal with Jesus. What reaction would that bring? Really? What was he talking about? Was it nice? He said, no, he broke the bread and he disappeared. Because that's what happened. But you recognized that Jesus helped you to part in your life. Did something that you need. Help you. Does Jesus remove all the troubles and things? No, the Bible doesn't say that. But he walks with you through the troubles and the things. He supplies your needs according to his riches, not according to what your bank account wants. According to his riches, what you need. And there are people here in the church that know what I'm talking about. How about your feet? Are they static or are they moving? How about you? How about me? You know, it's easy for me to say you. But the three fingers point back at me. It's for me just as much as it's for you. And it's for us a constant reminder of what God is doing in our lives. Constantly. This story to me was an eye-opener. Because a lot of us say, I'm going away. I'm not worried about this. I walk away from it. Jesus didn't say walk away. Jesus says walk towards him. Remember, God only wants a relationship with you. Not with your problems, not with anything else. He wants a relationship with you. Because if he has a relationship with you, he's got your problems. He's got your good things. He's got your bad things. He's got everything. But he wants you first. I mean, it's like Stefani. She wants me. She doesn't want my car, which is an old car. And she doesn't want my check account, which is virtually nothing in. She wants me. It's true, Pastor Jerry. She wants me. But God is like that. God is like that. And God wants us to have a relationship with him. You know, I get dirty looks from the front here, so I need to be careful. But I love you, my dear. And I love you, Pastor Jerry. Conclusion. Everything needs to come to an end. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus draws near to us, listens to our hopes. He opens the scriptures and he reveals himself at the table, sending us back to our brothers and sisters with a new story to tell. Let's read it again. On my road to Emmaus, Jesus draws near to me. He listens to my hopes, and we all have hopes. He opens the scriptures for me, and he reveals himself at the table to me. Then he sends me back to you to tell what God has done in my life. That's simple. It's not difficult. So my question is, why do you make it so difficult? Why do I make it so difficult? Keep on praying for healing, a child, a work. Keep on volunteering. Friends, how many times have we not stopped praying for something? We've been praying for our children, well, from the day they were born. But we're praying, for instance, also that they meet the living Jesus. And how long do we do that? As long as we can remember. Do we do that once? No, it's an every night prayer. It's an everyday prayer. And I know God is hearing us. But God doesn't put timelines on our prayer because I want it my way. It's on His timeline that it's going. But He wants us to be faithful in what He expects us to do in every way. He wants us to trust Him and obey Him in every aspect of it. Do you carry disappointment, hurt, etc.? Bring what you had, your hopes, to Jesus today. Friends, if you have something that you don't know how to handle, what to do with, take a few steps with Jesus. Put Him on the road with you, because everybody of us is walking a road. Take a few steps with Him. Allow Him to talk to you through His Word. Open His Word. You know what Jesus says? I will never leave you or forsake you. He didn't say, I will leave you, forsake you if you obey, be obedient. He just says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And all we have to do is believe that. Allow Him to do that for us. If you are unsure about Jesus, invite Him to walk with you on the road, opening the Scripture to you. And there may be somebody here that Jesus is not part of your life. I invite you. Take the plunge. Invite Him. He's already walking on the road with you. You just don't realize it. He's there already. All you have to do is, welcome Jesus. Thank you for walking with us. Walking with me. Maybe it's at the table. It may be in a bad situation. Maybe you had an accident. Maybe there was something else. Jesus is there. I guarantee it, because God's Word guarantees it. And what God's Word guarantees, I believe it. I don't know about you, I believe it. If you don't, you better start believing, because it's the truth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, risen Savior, thank You that You draw near to us on our Emmaus roads. You heard our had hoped. Open the Scriptures to us again. Make our hearts burn within us. Reveal Yourself at the table and send us back to our homes, our church, our city, with fresh faith, a living testimony in Your name. Father, thank You for Your grace and Your goodness and Your mercy. Thank You, Father, for that Your Word is alive, that Your Word is life-giving. Father, it's like the communion we've had. Your body was broken so that I can enjoy life. Your blood was shed so that I can have protection, that I can be washed from my sins. Thank You for all that. Thank You, Father, that I can now also pray that and stand on Your Word, that Your Word will not turn unto Your void, but accomplishes that You set it out to be. Father, and if there's anybody here this morning that needs a meeting with You on their Emmaus road, I pray in Jesus' name that You will meet them, that You will take care of them, that You will open the Scriptures to them, that You will guide them back to the Scriptures so that they will realize that Jesus is alive and that you can believe what he says, that I will never leave you or forsake you. Thank you for your grace, your goodness, your love, your mercy, Father. And I now pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father that enfolds us, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will go with each and every one now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.